Welcome to the Destination Begin podcast. I'm your host, Kristen Smith. I've lost over 250 pounds. I've started my life over multiple times and managed to find humor, lessons, and joy in the process. And now I'm here, sharing those stories with you. Thanks for joining me. Hi, hi. Welcome to the podcast. It's getting closer to Christmas, and Hanukkah is in full swing, and it's such a fun time of year. I love this time of year. I am sitting here looking out my window at a rainy, cloudy, blustery beach. It is this crazy, crazy windy week here, and so it doesn't feel like a lot like Christmas, what I'm used to from the Midwest and Minnesota and all of that, but I'll take it because it's not snow, and it's not cold, although I guess I'm a little cold, but it's weird. But still, I've got Christmas lights in my office. I've got the Christmas tree up. Everything is decorated all over the beach. There are Christmas lights on the palm trees. There are blue and white trees all over the palm trees as well for Hanukkah lights. Our lobby has this amazing tree and this beautiful menorah and Hanukkah display. There's a really big Jewish community here, and so it's beautiful. Everybody does it all up really nicely. So I love it. And today I have a special guest that is not going to speak. I have Olive here. Olive is a Havanese dog. She is exactly the same size as Gustavo. She lives across the street and she has social anxiety or separation anxiety. And so my good friend just got her and she's 6 years old and my good friend had to go out of town. So she couldn't leave Olive alone. So she's with us and she's amazing. She's laying here at my feet. I look a little bit like her mom. Her mom is blonde. And so she, while she loves Roy, she's very much concerned about where I am at all times. So it's kind of nice because Roy stole Gustavo's attention and heart. Gus is totally Roy's dog now. And so I'm like, whatever. But now Olive is here and she is mine and I am hers. And so I'm very happy about that. Life on the beach. Life is good. I've talked about a lot of things in the podcast the last few weeks. I've kind of gone back to talking about my life more on the podcast in the first half. And then the second half, I try to, you know, give you content of value. So I will just reiterate. If you don't want to hear about my life, skip forward to the next chapter in this podcast. If you do want to hear about my life, then we're just going to go for it. So here we go. Last night was super amazing. Roy and I had a little dinner party, which we have never really done because we've always had wagons full of dumbbells and workout gear in the middle of our living room because of running boot camp. And we have 606 square feet to live in and three giant wagons with 700 pounds of weights plus another wagon of, 400 pounds of kettlebells and battle ropes. That being the living room fixture, it doesn't really, it's not conducive for company. In fact, you know, we got married here. My best friends were here helping me get ready, Minash and Courtney, and they're just walking around on my wedding day, walking around wagons full of weights and dumbbells and it looked like a garage. And I look back at the pictures of me getting ready for my wedding and I'm like, in the hindsight, I'm kind of mortified, but in the moment, like I never even saw it. But one of the greatest things that's happened to our life this year, along with all the other great things, one of the greatest is we were able to secure a space in someone's beach cabana right here where we live to store all of that stuff. So we can go down to the beach path, unlock the cabana, pull out our wagons of weights, take them to the beach for class, then bring them back. So that sand isn't coming into our house and those weights and everything are stored down there where they need to be used. It is a game changer. It's a relief. It is so wonderful. Now, we still have sand everywhere because, you know, it's a great mystery. It's a great mystery because Roy doesn't bring sand in. It's not him. It's just this weird, crazy mystery where all the sand in the bed comes from. But anyway. Okay, I'm going to talk about this. So here's the deal. I lived here in this condo for almost a year and a half before Roy came along. And through a lot of that, I had Riggs, my dog from Minnesota. I had him here a lot of the time. And then I had just gotten Gus. But I never, ever
Not even one time had sand in my bed. Nor did I have sand all over my apartment. I had a method. I'd come in, all the sand would be by the door. I'd strip down at the door, hop in the shower, clean up the boot camp stuff, sweep, clean up the sand, be done for the rest of the day. No reason to have any sand. Then, you know, Roy moved in and all of a sudden there's sand freaking everywhere, in the bed, in the bathrooms, on the floors, in the kitchen, in my ears. And he would be like, I don't know. It's not me. In fact, he'd get mad. He's like, I resent the fact that you insinuate it's me. I'm like, I'm not insinuating. I'm saying it to your face. There is sand everywhere and it's insane and it's unnecessary. So Roy and I don't really fight, but we have gone round and round, not in a fighting way, but in a bickering way about this. It makes me insane. Like when I wake up, I have to brush sand off my back and it, like the rage, it's like rage. And I've tried a lot of different things to try to get him to understand that he is the problem. Anyway, the bottom line is there is a process that could be done that would keep sand from permeating this space. I don't have buy-in. So what is my choice here? Fight with my wonderful, amazing, perfect gift from God husband about this all the time? Or shut up and just find a way to deal with it? So I decided a combination of those things. I still bring it up way too much, but a couple things. I did get him to buy into the process of like keeping most of the sand by the door. And that usually works, except when we come home, he's covered in sand and he sees Gus on the bed and he has to run over there, lay his sandy body on the bed and cuddle Gus. It's ridiculous. It makes me so mad, but it's so cute. I can't do anything about it. But anyway, so that plus I just shut up about it and I wear socks. So I realized if I'm wearing socks, I don't feel sand under my feet. Therefore, I don't really care if it's on the floor. Now, the bed thing, it's a little bit more difficult because I prefer to wear sweatpants and a hoodie to bed and turn the air conditioning down to 68 because I like being snuggy cold on my nose but warm in my body. And therefore, the sand isn't on my body. But Roy doesn't like that. He doesn't like being cold. So we're working on that. I don't know why I got off on this tangent. But anyway, sand management is a thing. And Roy's failing. So if you know Roy, I need you to give him copious amounts of grief so that he can't say I'm nagging him. I'd prefer if you all just group nagged him. Fact, you can find him on Instagram. Roy Jeter on Instagram. Roy Jeter Photography, actually. Check out his Instagram. Roy Jeter Photography. Go on there, comment, like his beautiful photos and reels. He's so talented. Then send him a message that says, hey, Roy, stop getting sand in the GD bed and the house that you live in with your perfect wife. That would be great. If you could do that, I'd be so grateful. Anyway, okay. I don't know where I was going with that. Oh, back to our dinner party. So anyway, we got rid of all this stuff in our house. And so we're able to actually have a house. We could have like a living room with our couch and our table. And it looks like real people live here and it's not a garage. So I said, you know, for Christmas, I would love to have a little dinner party with just a few people. We host stuff a lot. We have parties for boot camp and I have things for like big groups of people and it's super fun. But so just have a few people over for dinner. Not something that we've really done. So last night was the night. And so just a few people came over. I made roast beef like a real Minnesotan girl. It was annoying because it wasn't done. So I made this big, huge pan and I put two big chuck roasts and potatoes and carrots and onions, just like my mom. Put some water in there, put some seasonings, put in the oven. 4 hours later, it still wasn't done and I had a house full of people. Super stressful. But luckily, I had a bunch of roast and potatoes that didn't fit in the big pan that I put on a separate pan, and those were done. So we had roast and potatoes, whatever. Not the end of the world, but the bottom line is I have this giant thing of food left, and I don't understand how many hours I was supposed to cook the damn thing. Oh, sorry, I swore. I don't understand because I mean, it was in there like all day, but it was fun. We had my friend Sarah with her little baby Sasha, who I feel very responsible for because I prayed for that baby to come to us for forever and she's here. And so I take some responsibility for having a part in prayed Sasha into existence. So that was fun. And just, it was fun. I told Roy before anybody got there, I said, listen, I have two rules. We are not talking about boot camp because he and I talk about boot camp all the time. We're always trying to figure out strategies and class times. I mean, we just talk about it all the time. And when our friends from boot camp come, or friends, they know about this, and we're always trying to noodle. They're always trying to help us noodle new ideas, which is wonderful. But I just get tired of, it's like shop talk. So we're not talking about that. And then we're not going to talk about my friend that ditched me, because that's also been a conversation that's been way too much. We've been talking about it way too much because it's been so devastating to me. So, but I didn't have to say it like to anybody. Everybody came. We talked about life, about families, about traditions, about what we've been all been up to. It was like I was a real person with real friends that I don't also work with, train with, or belong to my boot camp. It was wonderful. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But you know, Rory and I live, eat, and breathe all the things that we do for work. It's our actual life. There isn't like going to work and coming home. We live at work, which is wonderful. But it was also wonderful to just sit down on my couch and listen to my friends talking about things and sharing funny stories and then talking about what this world is coming to and, you know, all that. So that was spectacular. And one of my clients today was saying when we were training together, she said, I am of the philosophy to keep your circle so small, it's a dot. And I thought, you know, that is, I don't know about keeping my circle so small, it's a dot, but to really know who that tiny inner circle is that you can really lean on, that you want close to you all the time, that you can be yourself around, that you can be honest with, and that you can trust to tell it to you straight. Like everyone at that table last night, if I said to them, hey, is this a blind spot of mine? Please tell me. They would tell me. If I said, hey, I need your support. I need you to lift me up. They would know how to lift me up. Like these are the people that I can trust. And I'm so grateful. And they're not the only ones, but I had a selection of the closest of them, and it's just a gift. So remember that. The people that are closest to you need to be people that really see you, that you can trust them to be honest with you, and keep it very real. I'm so grateful. You know, especially I talked about it a few weeks ago, this friend that basically cut me out of her life. It's been one of the hardest things I've had to deal with, but I've learned a lot. And ultimately, to just be able to say, I want people in my life who will trust me enough to come to me and have the tough, honest conversation. Even if the result is, Kristen, I don't want you in my life, but that they will respect me enough to say why, or to communicate to me, right? I can't fix or be better if I'm not shown where I have failed or where it doesn't serve someone. And you know, these people, at least from what I can tell, I feel like they respect me like that. And then I respect them. So I've learned a lot about relationships. I found out why that person cut me out of their life. And I heard through like a long grapevine. So you know how that is. It's like playing telephone. What was said out of her mouth of the why was probably changed about 5 times before it got to me. And even how I relay it is probably not exactly what was intended. I don't know, but the spirit of it, I got the message. And so I get it. I mean, I don't get it. I feel like it's garbage, but that was their experience. And so I have to respect that. And all I can do is try to fix what I, all I can do is try to make sure that no one else in my life could say that with any validity either. Because what was said about me, at least, or what the reason is, it's total garbage. At least in my opinion, from where I sit, and I'm pretty honest about how I behave. But I can always do better. So that's what I'm doing. And I have to see this person a lot. We are in the same circles. And instead of seeing this person and feeling devastated and heartbroken, I just decided, you know what? I'm going to stand in my power. I'm going to be love. I'm going to be sunshine. I'm going to be grace in the face of disrespect. And I'm just going to continue doing that. And I'm really proud of the strength that I have found to move forward, finally. So that's the last I'm going to say about it. I've spent a lot of time and attention. I've gotten a lot of feedback from a lot of you on this with interesting insights on people and relationships and friendships. And there's two schools of thought. One is my school of thought, which is if you don't want someone in your life, you owe them an explanation, especially if you've been friends for a long time. It's really, really disrespectful to ghost somebody and to just walk away from them. And the other perspective is no, why? If you decide someone doesn't serve you, why would you waste your energy to tell them? If they don't serve you, if they've hurt you or whatever, walk away. And I understand that idea too. I would never do that, especially now, because I know how it feels when you are confused and you don't know why someone you love and care about and respect and are so close to has cut you out. I think it's so hurtful. But on the other side, if it's like someone decides I'm bad energy and I have hurt them and I'm terrible, then yeah, I guess it's justified for them to say, don't deserve an explanation. So whichever side of the fence you sit on this, I just, I have to learn that we're not all the same. So, but I still think ghosting is really mean. Anyway, all right, what else has been going on? Oh, I finally got to see Elf in the theater. I talked about that a lot. Going to Minnesota to see it in the theater with my family, and then it wasn't in the theater. It was like, oh my gosh. But last Saturday, a few of us went down to South Beach to the theater. We watched Elf, and it was fun because our friend Robert has never seen it. So it was really fun to watch it, knowing that there's someone there who's seeing it for the first time. And it's like, you know, it's just such a quotable movie. And there are so many pieces of it that I forget until I see it again. There's the scene where Elf comes to his dad's office for the first time. And his dad's secretary is on the phone. And it's Amy Sedaris, who I think is hysterical. And she was like, I don't know, I've never declawed kittens before. Just bring them over. It's like, oh my gosh. Like, can you imagine having someone come over with their kittens and you're like, I'm going to declaw your kittens for you? Anyway, it's hilarious. So that was awesome. It was super fun to go see that in the theater in the middle of December while it's hot outside. So anyway, a really fun event we also did was a birthday party for Roxy. Roxy has been with Boot Camp for 2 years and she turned 69. And we have crowned Roxy our Boot Camp queen. And she's amazing. She comes to Boot Camp. She can't do all the moves completely, but since she started coming, her bone density has improved. Her circulation has improved. Her A1C has improved. Her cholesterol has improved. She's lost weight. She's become more flexible. And you know what? She walks across the street. She does what she can do. She pushes herself with this big giant smile on her face. And she does everything that she can. And if there's something that doesn't feel good or doesn't serve her, she dances. And I'm like, you know what? We should all be a Roxy. Be a Roxy. Do what you can with a big old smile on your face. And if you're consistent with it, it's going to change your life. So it was her birthday. And people were so excited to celebrate her because when Roxy comes to boot camp, if there's a new person, she introduces herself. She finds out a little something about them. And then she figures out in schemes and plots, even if it's a backside way, to do something nice for that person. Like any little nugget of information she can glean so she can turn it into doing something nice for them, she will do it. So for instance, she overheard that I am a germaphobe and I change my toothbrush every day. So here comes Roxy pretty soon. I went to the dollar store and they had 4 toothbrushes for $1. So I bought you a bunch. So I get a new supply of toothbrushes from Roxy regularly. She heard me say, I love to have my back scratched, but I can't reach my back and Roy doesn't have fingernails. The next day, I bought you a back scratcher. It's telescoping and it looks like a rake. She legit did that. She found out that my friend and coach Paul, he feeds the homeless people in the park down the street. And so she brought a whole bunch of food and then she brought some beautiful toiletry items for any of the ladies that he sees up in the park that are experiencing homelessness. We have a boot camper. Her husband was in a motorcycle accident recently. He needed a notary to get the motorcycle out of impound. Roxy reached out, drove her over there, went over there, did a notary thing. I don't know what all she did, but she took a time out of her day to handle it for them. These are people she doesn't know very well, but that is Roxy. And so I am telling you that because here's your takeaway. Be a Roxy. Open your ears up for any way that you can love on people. And, you know, Roxy doesn't pay people's mortgages or buy them cars or do any of these big, lavish, giant Oprah things. She does these little things that mean so much to the people around her. And it's action, verb, love. And she doesn't tell anybody. I find out about this stuff on the side. I see it happen on the sly as she's sneaking something lovely into someone's hands. Be a Roxy. If there's anything you're going to do today, be a Roxy. Find a way to just give some love to somebody. I think that's about all that's going on right now. I mean, it's heading up to the end of the year. I am working on my 2024 goals and vision and purpose, and I'm trying to get really clear on what I want to do, and then how that translates into what I need to start doing, stop doing, and adding to my life. And that is a really powerful thing to think about. So we're going to talk about that a little bit in the second half of the episode. And then I want to encourage you, if you haven't had time yet this season, to watch It's a Wonderful Life. I talk a lot about Elf, and Elf is my favorite Christmas movie, but It's a Wonderful Life is one of the best moral of the story Christmas movies. And it's just a classic. Hee-haw! I don't know if you've ever seen it. If you haven't seen it, you don't know what that means, but it's fun. It's old, but it is priceless, timeless, and it's got a message that I just think that everybody should hear. You know, you have no idea how many people's lives have been changed because you exist. It's the ultimate story of you matter. You matter when you don't feel it. You matter when you don't see it. The chain of lives that are impacted by you showing up and being you, following your passion, following your calling, smiling at someone, just doing your job, not even trying, just existing. That existence can be the life changer. And you may never know what it is, but it's so important to remember that the residual effects of your soul are eternal. So watch It's a Wonderful Life during the holiday season. I really, really encourage you to do that. All right. Without further ado, I'm going to talk about one of my favorite holiday memories. So when we were little kids, we didn't have a lot of money, and my mom was very creative and she sewed things for us. She would make us new quilts, or she'd make us like pretty little things to hang on the wall, or she'd make us a new dress or something like that. So my mom was very good at making a dollar stretch, and she made a lot of things. And so we got sensible things for Christmas from my mom, which was great. And in hindsight, of course, I appreciate it even more. But my dad is like a big kid. He's like an 8-year-old inside. Still, I talked to him yesterday. And he was making off-color jokes because he is an 8-year-old inside of an adult body, which I love. And I feel like we should all be more like that. Anyway, my dad loved Christmas and he loved presents. And my mom would do all of the shopping and everything, but daddy didn't care. He would still go out, like usually the day before Christmas, really last minute, and he would buy presents for all of us. And we loved his presents best. Number one, because he wrapped them like he was blind with Tourette's. Just smushing the wrapping paper around, and then he'd tape it down with either duct tape or black electrical tape. And then he'd just scrawl on the top our name in pen, right? My mom would be wrapping with pretty paper, folding the corners, making everything perfect, pretty little bow, make sure they all match. She taught us how to wrap presents pretty with some curling ribbon. No, dad was like, fold, tape, throw it under the tree. So you could always tell which ones were from daddy. And they were the things we wanted when we were young. My mom didn't ever buy us anything frivolous. We had to use our own money, which we didn't have any money. But like we would record dramatized Bible stories off of the radio. Or we'd record ourselves talking and stupid stuff. And we always needed blank tapes. And so daddy would buy us blank tapes. That would be one of the things that would be in the packages. Same with hairspray. We could use Aquanet that my mom had, which was disgusting. Or we'd use our own money to go buy our own hairspray, and we'd run out because we would tease our hair into these big piles. So daddy would wrap up a thing of hairspray. And then it would be things like a 1-pound bag of M&Ms or a 1-pound Hershey bar. But it was always something ridiculous and frivolous and amazing. And my mom would know about it. And she'd be like, Alan, I already got the kids stuff. And she would nag him a little bit. But ultimately, she stopped nagging him because it was our favorite thing. So blank tapes, hairspray, hair mousse. We used to have to buy our own tights because we would get holes in them. And so daddy would like buy, they'd be the wrong size and the wrong color. But he'd try to buy like those little egg shape containers of like girls' tights and wrap those up. It was always the fun stuff. And so it was my favorite memory. And the greatest thing about my daddy is he's never stopped. Well, I mean, I guess now he is because we don't really exchange. But up into adulthood, this stuff changed into whatever my dad was interested in. And for a long time, my dad was interested in infomercial products and especially knives, kitchen knives, the best knives, the miracle knife from China. These are blades that will cut your hammer in half. These blades will cut through wood and metal and then make a beautiful little tomato flower. And so a couple of years in a row, get a set of As Seen on TV knives. Then the next year it would be the Handy Stitch, which is a handheld sewing machine. So you can just walk up and like hem your curtains or I don't really know, but I never actually used that one. A great one, the buttoneer. It's a little tool that instead of sewing on a button, you can just put this on, put a button on it, put it on your shirt, and bam, it basically staples a button wherever you want it. Then there was the Pasta Pro, which was a big pot that you could boil pasta in, and the lid screwed on and it had a strainer in it. So you could just put the lid on and tip it into the sink and dump the water out. Now I actually used that for years. I wore that one out. That was good. Then there was the egg extractor, which you would put a hard boiled egg on it, push the button and it would peel the egg and the egg would come popping out. Except all it did was destroy the egg. And you just have a pile of shells and it did not work. The egg extractor did not work. But you know, destroyed a few eggs before it got thrown away. So that was it for a long time. And then things just got kind of weird. Like he would find a bunch of different things and put them in a box. So one year I remember it was a lantern and a book of stamps. It was like, what? Wait a minute. It was like a lantern you'd hold in front of you, like you were Paul Revere or something. And then a book of stamps. So that was a weird one. But anyway, all that to say, my favorite gifts have always been the ones from my daddy because they have been frivolous and fun and sweet and kind of some of them just the desires of my heart. You know, we didn't have a lot and my mom made sure we had the things that we needed. And then my daddy just made sure there was a little extra for those little frivolous things. And that just meant so much, especially as a kid, especially as an adult now. So that brings me to my point about Operation Honey Bun. I've talked about it here before, but I started Operation Honey Bun a couple years ago when I would teach boot camp at South Beach, and I would see these people experiencing homelessness and they'd be getting up to shower for the day as I showed up. And I started to bring them honey buns and treats and things because they were so nice. And I just love talking to them, making connection, making eye contact, showing them love with something frivolous. These are people who, I mean, if they wanted off the streets and they wanted to find a new life, there are tons of resources to do that. So people that have decided for whatever reason, either they're not ready or they can't. I don't know. I know it's overwhelming, the homeless situation. I know I don't know have a solution. But I also knew that I'd pull up there every morning and there'd be a group of people who would smile at me, offer to carry my boot camp stuff, and who would go spend the rest of their day being shooed out of public places, looked at with scorn, ignored, and just thrown away. And I would interact with these people and have the most beautiful conversations, silly conversations, loving conversations, and I could brighten their day and they brighten mine. And so I just started loving on those people. And it turned into just so much fun. It like kept me from focusing on my problems. It kept me from worrying about anything overwhelming. It gave me a purpose. It gave me joy. And they gave me so much. And so it turned into something that I didn't care about doing boot camp there anymore. I just wanted to see these people. And when I started talking about it to other people, I found out so many other people wanted to help give these people love. So started doing some holiday distributions of hygiene kits and random distributions of hygiene kits and food and whatnot. And finally, I thought, you know what? I'm going to get this to be a tax-exempt donation, 501c3, so people can donate to help me do this and the people in this community that want to help me. And that way it can be a tax-deductible donation. Well, I screwed up the paperwork the first time. And then the second time I sent it in, I got it right. And so Operation Honey Bun is officially a 501c3, which means that if you donate to Operation Honeybun, it's tax deductible, which is amazing because companies have matching gifts and employers often will match. And so now I'm working on fundraising to be able to do a really big holiday distribution here. These people, they need food and shelter and all of those things. But on Christmas, I want to give them like what my daddy gave me. I want to give them the things that light them up that maybe they don't necessarily need to live. But because they're just human beings. They're just human beings, right? They're just like you and me. And to be able to just light them up with like last year with these women, give them a little nail polish and some not just chapstick, but some Dr. Pepper lip smacker. You know, like it's frivolous. It does the job, but it also speaks to their little girl in them. And, you know, hair ties with sparkles in them instead of the basic bare necessities. These people, people give them scraps. And that's great. That's great. And it's kind. There's nothing wrong with that. But to once a year say, you know what? The humanity in me recognizes the humanity in you and the little girl and the little boy inside of you that just want something special. And it comes from those moments from my daddy that lit me up and maybe was a little wasteful sometimes, but it made my heart feel, you know, it made my childhood brighter. And so Operation Honeybun means so much to me because some of it is a little frivolous. A honey bun is full of sugar, which I don't believe in. And it's not nutritionally, you know, powerful, but the look on a face when I say, hey, do you want a honey bun? And they light up and they look at you kind of like, well, why are you doing this? And there is no answer except, hey, it's a honey bun. It's sweet. It's fun. And so anyway, so for Christmas, I'm so excited. Got lots of people here that are volunteering. We're going to be doing hygiene kits with soap and shampoo and socks and things that really help meet the needs. And then also honey buns and granola bars and peanut butter sandwiches with extra jelly and some hot breakfast. I've been making some hot breakfast and walking around outside and finding people to give them to and just love. So I'm most excited this holiday season that Operation Honeybun is a tax-exempt organization. And in 2024, going to really blow the doors open on Operation Honeybun. Regular distribution, regular fundraising, regular going out into the community. Not only giving out honey buns, but nutritious foods and snacks, bananas, protein shakes, access to, you know, for these ladies, some hygiene products that they need. And then some nutrition and some exercise opportunities in the community. I'm like, why not? I'm a trainer. I'm a nutritionist. How about if I just have some free events where we get kids and seniors out to move, to enjoy some of the nature that we have around us, to teach them, here's a honey bun. Is there nutrition in this? No. Should we be eating this all the time? No. What are some options for things that we should be eating that make more sense? Get some education out there. I get to do all of this under the umbrella of Operation Honeybun, and I'm super excited. So if you'd like to donate, you can go to operationhoneybun.com. You can also just Venmo Operation Honeybun. You can also send email to Kristen Smith at operationhoneybun.com if you have questions or if you want ideas on how you can have an Operation Honeybun handout where you are. Anything, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love your support. If you have matching donations from your employer, if you get to tell your employer, hey, I want my donation to go here, Operation Honeybun. We are a 501c3 and it's all tax deductible and I'm super stoked about it. So from the heart of my daddy all the way to the beaches of Miami Beach, hugs and honey buns. Maybe I should put some black electrical tape on them too when we hand them out. I just sent some Starbucks gift cards today via text to two people in the Kristen Experience community who took me up on a quick challenge I threw out the other day. I just posted an upper body workout and said, hey, who's going to do this in the next couple of days? Everybody who does this gets a prize. So I had two ladies who grabbed this super tough workout, did it, and I paid up. I sent them some Starbucks gift cards. That's the kind of fun we have in the Kristen Experience community.
Tuesday night, I had a group call. They coached each other, encouraged each other. We talked about protein. We talked about movement. Everybody is getting to know each other, sharing wins, talking about the holidays, talking about how we can stay strong. Every Tuesday night, I'm in the community having a live call with everyone. So this is brand new. It's just growing, and I want you to be a part of it. This is a way for you to be in my circle, getting coached by me, getting support from me. New videos in the on-demand library every single week on mindset, nutrition, macros, how to change your lifestyle step by step. You'll have your own personalized plan you'll be chasing, movement, hydration, protein, and you'll get to have the support of the community. I have challenges in there for gratitude. I have challenges in there for movement and hydration. Lots of fun prizes. Earning points for bigger prizes and swag, bragging rights. And the greatest part is you get to mentor each other. You get to learn it, live it, then come back and lead it with your friends. Ultimate accountability. When I ask people what they want from a weight loss program, I hear I need accountability and support, and I want to feel good in my skin. Well, this is everything you asked for. You can try it for 7 days for free. You go to thekristenexperience.com. Scroll down to the bottom to pick one of the options to pay monthly, quarterly, or yearly. You use code DECEMBER to get $50 off your first month and your first 7 days for free. So if you hop in there, you look at everything and you hate it, you have no obligation. You can cancel it. But I don't think that's going to happen. You're going to meet Brenda and Tanya and Amanda and Mandy and Melissa and me, and you're going to feel supported. You're going to have fun. You're going to have incentive to get up and do more because you're going to want to come back and share in the experience with others. Don't wait. Let's finish the year strong and have a head start on our year together in the Kristen Experience. TheKristenExperience.com. Use code DECEMBER at checkout for $50 off and those first 7 days for free. Don't wait. Do it now. My good friend Courtney sent me a text last night right before bed, and she said, "What's the one thing that's held you back in 2023? And I thought, you know, initially, well, nothing. I've had a great year. I got married this year 3 times to the same guy. I don't know that anything has held me back. Held me back from what? And I realized that that was the question. Held me back from what? And the fact that I didn't have an answer to that showed me the answer to the big question is I did not set a clear vision and goal for my 2023. And so I can't even definitively say if I got where I was going because I didn't have the clear destination. And what was holding me back from getting there was the fact that I didn't have a destination. And I was like, oh, holy buckets. So my mind has been blown by this realization. I'm the queen of goal setting and intention and all these things. And I do it on a micro level. But where I'm lacking is I haven't been doing it enough on a macro level. And part of that is, I think, a residual side effect from how I used to think. I'd set big macro goals, big long-term goals, and I'd get so overwhelmed that I wouldn't know what to do on a daily basis, and therefore I did nothing. And now, in typical Kristen fashion, I overcorrected, and I focused so much on little routine things and little things without setting the big goal that I feel like the thing that held me back this year was not having a clear vision that I lined everything I was doing up against. And so it's just caused me to realize I gotta figure this out before the next year so that I can correct this. Because whatever has held me back in 2023 will continue to hold me back in 2024 unless I identify it and put a plan into place to eliminate it. So this, of course, I'm like, this is a great podcast topic because I am you, you are me, and therefore you may struggle with some of these things too. And so I'm going to just kind of go through the things that I came up with as I dug into this question even more. What are the things that have contributed to me not getting everything that I want in 2023? And now, don't get me wrong, 2023 has been an amazing year. I got married this year. I traveled a lot this year. I had amazing experiences this year. It's been a wonderful year. I'm so grateful. This is not about not accepting and basking in the greatness. This is about what do I want in the future? I got to figure out how to get it, and I got to figure out where these holes are. And so here we go. Here are some of the things that I came up with, a quick and dirty list that I feel like gives me a lot of room to improve and then places to start, because it's like a hole in a rowboat. There's 60 holes. We got to identify them and plug each one of them one by one. So number one, one of the things that has held me back in 2023 is a lack of a clear plan. Like I just said, I did not set metrics. I didn't set a clear goal. I've just been kind of grinding toward this one big grand thing, but I've gotten lost in the shuffle here and there. I've gotten off course a few times. I have been grinding and working in certain arenas to just make some money or to just get better at something without aligning it with a big goal. And I know what my big goal is. I know what I want to do when I grow up, but without a clear focus on making that happen and setting a definitive, measurable goal on that, I haven't made progress toward it because I wasn't focused on a goal and aligning everything up. So number one, what's held me back is not having a goal, a clear, definitive, specified, measurable, SMART goal. And so that's got to change. I have to set a clear goal for 2024. Number two, lack of focus. I am the queen of getting pulled in 100 directions. I say yes to a lot of things. I end up doing a lot of things pretty good. But what I need to be doing is fewer things better. I need to be doing higher quality work on fewer things, because this lack of focus, not only does it lead to me not getting where I want to go, but it means that I get tired. And that I, instead of attaching intention and meaning to everything that I'm doing, I'm just kind of grinding and flitting, and therefore I'm being a lot less effective. So lack of focus. I have to fix this. What happens when I fix this? I do fewer things better, higher quality with the things that match where I'm going. So lack of focus, I gotta fix that. Number three, lack of scheduling. I was just watching a masterclass this morning with Martha Stewart, and I was taking copious notes. If you haven't absorbed this, I recommend it. I've got so much gold out of this, and I'm only halfway through it. But she just said you can make a schedule, but it's meaningless if you don't follow it. Now, part of my day is very scheduled because it has to be. And that is where I see the most growth in my life. That's where I see the most progress, because I have had those things scheduled and they are not changeable. For example, boot camp. Boot camp happens every single day. I have to be down there. I have to be down there on time. I have to have a workout ready. I have to show up on. I have to go inside my heart and have a message for those people. I don't have a choice. It is published on a website. We have members that rely on it. So that is a tight schedule. If I treated everything that I am passionate about and working on with that kind of non-negotiable scheduling, I would see results in those areas too. I've seen growth in this podcast when I have been religious about an episode a week, every single week. Now, the issue with that is I haven't allowed enough time for some of those episodes, so I feel like my quality went down on some of them. If you've listened to this podcast, you know there's some duds out there. But basically, by putting that schedule in place where I had to ship an episode every single week, I got better at the process. I got better at reaching more people. My audience grew. And so that lack of scheduling this last year, where I have been way too tolerant of interruptions, I've been way too tolerant of rescheduling. I've been way too tolerant of my emotions and my fatigue, saying, screw that, I won't do it today. I'll just do it next week. Next week never gets here. There's always next week. So lack of scheduling has cost me a lot of momentum and progress and focus and therefore results. So if I fix this, I'm going to see progress. I'm going to see consistent growth in the things that I care about. So lack of scheduling, not cool. And actually, you know, I should refine that. It's not that I haven't scheduled things. It's that I haven't followed the schedule. Lack of follow through. I used to be so good at this, but just like any muscle, if you stop exercising, it starts to atrophy. So I got to fix this.
I got to stick to my schedule. Number four, not completing things. I am the queen of like, I have an hour. I really want to create a gift certificate template for my business. So I'm just going to go in Canva and I'm going to start playing around. And so I'll go on Canva and I'll create a gift certificate thing and I'll mess with it and I'll work with colors and logos. And then I'll realize, oh, I got to go somewhere. So I'll just close it and save it and be done. And then I'll forget about it. And then there is a 90% done project. And because I've already used all the creativity and I'm kind of over it, I no longer even want to do it. So now I've wasted an hour of my life on something that is going to die. It's not even ever, no one will ever see that hour of my time or my work. That gift certificate idea will never come to fruition. Just using this as an example. And so not completing things, I have so many things that are 75% done. And they're all things like that. They're little things that just require a little creativity or something, an idea that I really wanted to work on. I was inspired on for a minute, but then I set it down and it's like, I may as well just throw it in the trash. So what happens if I fix this? More things are going to be out of my brain and into the world. Basically, it's going to require me to ask the question, if I'm going to start this, do I have time to finish this right now? And now while there's merit to starting something and getting it going and, you know, feeling like, okay, I've got it off the ground, now it's going to be easier to work on, there are certain things where if I don't do it 100%, I know I'm not going to come back to it. So I shouldn't pick it up and put any time onto it unless I'm willing to walk the thing across the finish line. I have to fix this so more things come out of my brain and into the actual world and become an actual thing I can touch or hold or sell or use. So I have to fix this. Completing things to 75%, this should probably be number one on my list of things I do. I can't tell you, I don't know if you use Canva. Canva is an amazing, powerful tool for creating images. You can create anything. I use it for social media. I use it to create emails and thumbnails for things and gift certificates and ads. I have a billion projects in my Canva that have never been posted or used because they're like 90% done. That's insane. I've also created tons of posts, put them in a folder, and then like I just have to schedule them. I've never scheduled them, therefore they've died. So that kind of thing, what a waste of my time. I have to stop doing that. So not completing things. Big, big thing. It's been big contributor to not getting what I want. And number five, worrying about what other people think. Now this one I really have to qualify because one thing that I never used to do was ask people what they wanted. I would just assume. So this year I have implemented the practice of asking more what my people want. What do our boot campers want? We have a survey. I need to know your feedback. How did class go? What did you think? An anonymous place to tell me anything, which has been great. I needed to do that. We have to ask our customers what they want. We have to ask our partners what they need. We have to find that out. But in the end, we also need to be clear about who we are, what we can and cannot do, and be willing to push forward and say, this is what I am doing, and there are going to be people that don't like it. So I love the survey I put out for bootcamp, for example, but if I'm not careful, I can get really wrapped up into accommodating every single thing that is on there and making sure I address and correct every single thing that everybody sees. And guess what? There are some comments and some things that people want that as a leader and as a trainer, I know those are not for the good of the group. And so, you know, if someone says, I want dance class 5 days a week, I would have to say, that's lovely. We are a boot camp. We are here for other purposes. We have Zumba once a week, but you know what I mean? Like that hasn't happened. But basically, to worry about what other people think and to make sure everybody is getting everything that they want, it removes my power as a leader. It removes the effectiveness of my leadership. I have skills, I have training, I have talent, I have a mission, I have empowerment. If I don't present a product at bootcamp or in my programs and I'm just giving everybody what they want, then I've decreased my value to simply just being a yes man or a yes woman. And that has not served me. Not only has it given me way too much muck in my brain and confusion, but it's made what I put out there less powerful. The months that I sit down and say, what do I want my boot campers to feel in their bodies? What kind of change do I want? This is what I'm creating for programming. When I have done that specifically and not asked a bunch of questions, it's been phenomenal. When I've gotten caught up in like, maybe they don't like this, maybe it's too hard, maybe it's too light, blah, 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 everything starts to get diluted. So I'm just using that as an example. But in lots of areas in my life, I worry too much about what other people think. And that is pretty deeply rooted. Some of these things that we do, you know, I'm not a therapist, I'm not a psychologist, but if a psychologist were to sit down and talk to me about this, they would find a lot of deep-seated things from my childhood and my past that contribute to some of this stuff. And this one for sure goes back to worthiness, confidence in who I am, empowerment and belief in what I offer. When I believe I have a message to give, I go out there and I give that message and it lands. But when I wonder, are they feeling it today? What do they want? Are they mad? Do they hate this? I always imagine they hate this. Then I don't have anything. I have no power. I have no confidence. So a lot of that stuff just comes from this perpetual state of unworthiness that was beaten into my head from church, from religion, from people who didn't understand who they were. Therefore, they didn't understand who I was. That's how I am going to be qualifying all of that forever, by the way. The biggest lesson of my life, people in my past did not hurt me on purpose. In fact, they didn't hurt me because here I am, clearly just fine. They didn't know who they were, so they didn't know who I was. They didn't know that I was full of the power of God. They didn't know they were full of the power of God. And so off I go. So not worrying about what other people think, that's what I got to do in the new year. And of course, like I said, this one is tough because you do have to know what people need. You have to give them what they need and what they're really after, but you have to do it from a place of, okay, I'm going to meet the need in this way and this is why. So number six, I just touched on it. Biggest thing that's held me back is not going all in on my understanding of who I am. This is the floofy part. We just crossed the line. If you hate this stuff, you can just hang up. But listen, I got a vision this year of who I am and what is inside of me, and that I am a droplet from God. I am made up of the same stuff that God is, and so are you. And when I connect with that, everything falls into place. I have energy, I have power, I have purpose, and I have love for everyone. And I want everybody to feel the love that I am basking in. And when I go all in on that, when I take time first to connect with who I am, with the source of all goodness and greatness and love, and find it in my soul, I spend the day throwing it out there. Hello, do you know who you are? There is greatness inside of you, because I feel it and I know it. And then I bring it to my coaching. I bring it to the boot camp. I bring it to my clients. I bring it to my group calls. I bring it to my blog posts, to my LinkedIn posts, to my Instagram, to my husband, to my dog, to my friends. When I go all in on my belief and my acknowledgement and understanding of who I am, that solves everything. So I'm listing it last, not because it's least important, but because it sums up all the things. I encourage you to go all in your understanding of who you are. And if you don't know who you are with the same definitive power that I just described, you can come to that understanding by starting with what you do know about who you are. I have these worksheets I use a lot about identity and who are you? What have you done? What good have you done? What have you accomplished? List it out, bask in it, connect with the power of what you've already done. Now, who are you? Redefine who you are. Write it down. I am powerful. I am strong. I am tenacious. I am everything that God dreamed of. I am a mother. I am a warrior. I am a worker. I am a lover. I am a fighter. I'm a community builder. List it out. And then look at those traits and say, what's the common theme? For me, the common theme when I write all those things is power and love and joy and power and love and joy. That's how you convince yourself of who you are. That's how you engage with and understand and confront who you really are. That's what I want for all of you. When I think about myself a year from now, I want to be able to say, I didn't forget who I was, not even for one day. I didn't forget who I was in front of anybody who didn't like me. I didn't forget who I was in the face of a failure or adversity or a long, long day. I didn't forget who I was when someone tried to hurt me or cut me down or I didn't know what to say. I didn't forget who I was when I stared at the cheesecake. I didn't forget who I was when I stood on stage and there was a light on me and I had to speak and I was scared. I didn't forget who I was when I woke up and I was sick and I was tired and I forgot for a moment what my mission was. I still didn't forget who I was. I want to be able to say that. I want you to be able to say that. The reason I do this podcast is because what I find in my soul that empowers me, I want to put it right here so that you find it in your soul and you're empowered. So you go out and do all the things and be all the things and get everything you can out of this one big, beautiful life. That is why I am here. That is my mission. Sitting here using an hour and 20 minutes on my Friday to stop what I'm doing, to say all this stuff in the hopes it lands on your squishy, beautiful soul and something lights up inside of you and you say, yes, that's true. That's true for me. And then you are so lit up that you can't sit still and you must act. You must do. You must plot. You must scheme for a way to make it blossom in your life. That would make me so happy. That does make me so happy. Most of the clients I'm currently working with found me through this podcast, and it makes me so happy. Not because I get to coach them and I'm making money, but because I get to light up those hearts that heard my words across the air. And who knows what I was doing or what I was going through, but the message of my soul landed on someone else's soul. And it's just so amazing. So I hope this lands on your soul. And I hope it lights you up, turns your soul the most beautiful color of pink, and it makes you have to do something different, something big, something powerful, something beautiful. So that's what you're capable of. So I'm going to finish with a power thought for your new year. Here you go. If I am full of God, if I have a purpose and a mission, and I am everything God dreamed of and more, then that means that I am not on this earth to spend my days grappling with should I or shouldn't I eat the cookie. If I'm full of God, if I have a purpose and a mission, and I am everything God dreamed of and more, then that means I am not on this earth to spend my days grappling with should I or shouldn't I eat the cookie. I encourage you to personalize that and say it. If I am full of God, if I have a purpose and a mission, and I'm everything God dreamed of and more, then that means I am not on this earth to spend my days grappling with, and write down in that space the thing that you grapple with the most. I've spent so much of my life grappling with food, trying to figure out how to have what I want, and do I, and should I, and shouldn't I. And I found freedom, I found fitness, I found a healthy body, but still too many days I spend time grappling with should I or shouldn't I eat that thing. Well, if I am full of God, and if I have a purpose and a mission, and I am everything God dreamed of and more, then that means I am not on this earth to spend my days grappling with should I or shouldn't I eat the cookie. So for me in the new year, I'm not going to grapple with should I or shouldn't I eat the cookie. I'm going to decide how I'm going to show up with all inanimate objects and all of these things around that would deter me from my mission and my purpose and my value. I'm going to decide. And then the grace and the power of the God that is inside of me and the God that is inside of you, when you make this commitment, I'm going to show up as my best self in the new year. And I'm not going to let these things hold me back in 2024. To recap, the things that have held me back, and maybe these have held you back, not having a clear goal, not having focus, not sticking to a schedule, not completing things, worrying about what other people think, and not going all in on my understanding of who I am. So what's the positive statement there? In 2024, I'm going to set a clear goal. I'm going to get laser focused. I'm going to stick to my schedule. I'm going to complete things 100%. I am not going to worry about what other people think of me. And I'm going all in every day on my understanding of who I am. I want that for you too in the new year. If you have made that decision that 2024 is going to be this year where you have a goal and you focus and do all those things, please tell me. I always end this with how to reach out to me. I want you to take that seriously. I would love it if you would send me a message with what held you back this year and what's not going to hold you back in the new year. Remember, you are full of God. You have a purpose and a mission. You are everything God dreamed of and more. And that means that you are not on this earth to spend your days grappling with anything.
Thanks for tuning in to the podcast. I'm so excited you're here. If you want to interact with me, go ahead and send me an email, Kristen@KristensmithOnline.com. Follow me on Instagram, The Kristen Experience, and make sure you share this podcast with a friend. That's all I have for you today. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next time here on Destination Begin.